And it is 2:59 here at Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And I hope everything is going well in Boodler's Point. Perhaps it's not raining anymore because all the rain is here in Clatsop County. But we don't mind because it's 50. Well, I don't mind. It's 53 degrees. How can one complain? It's just gorgeous. And the earth is happy, if a little saturated. It's time for Arts Live and Local. Thanks to all of you who supported and support Coast Community Radio. Got a full show as usual, and an even fuller sheet of what else is going on. I hope I get time to get to it. So stay tuned. Thanks for being here. I'm going to start right out with some music from my first guests. It's the North Coast Symphonic Band, and we have some special stuff going on at the studio. Stay tuned. Is the North Coast Symphonic Band right here in probably performing. I'm not even sure where they were performing at the time, but we heard Flourish of Sprites. Ooh, okay. I've got some more music from them. Maybe I'll have a chance to play it a little bit later. First, let me introduce you to my guests representing the North Coast Symphonic Band, and then some. So Dennis Hale is here with me. Hi, Dennis.
How you doing, Carol?
Good to be here. Good to have you here. And Dennis is, if I'm correct, the president of the board, is that it?
That's correct, yes.
How long have you been doing that?
Oh, the president? Oh, 12 or 15 years, I think. So
being the president?
Right, yeah, it's been quite a while.
How did they manage to get you? Oh, I mean, that's wonderful. Yeah, you have a very active board, though.
We do.
I know you all have responsibilities and make it happen. And it is happening this coming Sunday. That's in 2 days at 2 o'clock at the Liberty Theater. The name of the concert is Muy Caliente, Latin Influences from Sunny Climes. And to emphasize that, my second guest is Estelle Oliveres. Hi, Estelle.
Hi, Carol.
And Estelle is one of our esteemed tango dancers and teachers right here in Astoria. Am I right? Mostly at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center?
Yeah, primarily.
Primarily
yep.
there. And I was trying to explain to someone, I've sat in, or stood in, I should say, on your in your class a couple of times, mm-hmm. and that it's good for beginners as well
Absolutely.
As for any level.
Yes, we start out every Saturday at 6 with fundamentals. So if somebody new comes in, everybody knows the drill. We go from the basics, and the basics are good always.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is yeah. that everybody seems to appreciate going over, even yeah. though it's
And week the longer you dance, the more you appreciate the basics.
Says she. How long have you been dancing?
Oh, my tango. Gosh. Tango since the late 90s.
Late 90s. Mm-hmm. Is that when the surge came in tango dancing?
It was definitely kind of the heightening of that surge, yeah. I mean, Portland is a mecca of tango in this world, which is amazing. So.
I did not know that, but yeah. I did know that people say you can dance tango every night.
Every night of the week,
there.
Multiple venues usually, yeah.
Amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah, so I'm very, very fortunate to have learned.
Okay, and I'm sitting here looking a little in trepidation and almost admiration, but mostly trepidation at this exquisite shoe. And if it were in the front of a gallery, I would be, wow, that's an art piece. But actually, Estelle and your sister, mm-hmm. Who is the co-teacher, is
She's
that
my
right?
assistant, yeah,
yes,
my teaching assistant.
Yes, Celeste. Yeah. They wear these shoes. And dance in these shoes. And I, what do you think, Dennis?
It looks like it'd be tough to me.
It looks, and yeah. and painful.
And very painful, yes.
That's the right. things we do for beauty.
That's
My
right.
Goodness.
So it's happening. How did this come about? Dennis, maybe you can tell us what made someone think about bringing together tango dance and the North Coast Symphonic Band?
Well, the program for this time around is, of course, as you know, the Latin influences. And so our director, Dave Becker, had picked out a really nice variety of pieces to represent the Latin American music. And, of course, our main person in the band, Janet Bowler, who had... seen Estelle and JL dance, thought, oh, we need to bring them in and have them dance with the band.
Okay.
And so Janet was kind of the inspiration behind bringing these two groups together.
Right. Bless Janet.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's terrific. First of all, I love arts collaborations. I
yeah,
think they're
me too.
Always good. They bring in different audiences. Mm-hmm. The tango folks are going to come to the Liberty
Absolutely.
And hear the North Coast Symphonic Band, and the band's audience is going to be very titillated by the mm-hmm. tapping of the, not the toes, but the heels mostly, and the dance, which is extremely sensuous and gorgeous. And you just mentioned, Estelle, your partner is?
J.L. Gillikin.
J.L.
And he's a local dancer. He was a performer in San Francisco, actually. So we both have a lot of performance experience. And then our connection for dancing is uncanny, actually. We're always kind of amazed and amused by that because it's a little unusual that it's so easy to dance with somebody.
Is he the one that you danced with at the, I guess, when... Carruthers mm-hmm. was about to happen.
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
The room was, it's a huge space. Mm-hmm. It was totally empty except for Christos' fabulous
yes.
art,
was,
which
yeah.
huge, large, beautiful canvases. And then the two of you took over the floor.
Yes, that was so
very
fun.
Exciting.
And I had just come back from Greece.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, and he's Greek. And so yes. the images were so...
Right.
Inspiring. Heartfelt for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Well, it was nice. Very exciting. So I know this is going to be also. Tell us about the concert, Dennis. Again, this is, folks, this is this Sunday, April 9th at 2 p.m. at the Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial. And you can get your tickets. The box office is open now if you want to give them a call or stop by. Or you can go online. Yeah, you may not want to stop by. I just looked out the window. It's pouring rain. But you can call 503-325-5922 and get your tickets that way. Or you can get them at the door. I'm going to mention, and then Dennis will tell you more about it, the concert with the North Coast Symphonic Band begins at 2. But there's a pre-show at 1:30, and that is the Sedona Fire Band. So if you want to see the whole concert, and I highly recommend it, come early enough, if you need, especially if you need to buy tickets. I'm not sure. Do you know, are these reserved seats, or is it open seating?
No, it's open seating.
Great. So that means, well, either way, the earlier you get there, the better choice you have of seats. So get there early enough so you can pick up your tickets and come on in. Doors, I'm sure, open at 1 o'clock if it starts at 1:30. Now, I'll shut up and let you tell us about the concert, Dennis.
We're starting off. The first piece is called The Golden Ear, and it's a song about a bullfight. And, of course, at the end of the bullfight, the matador, after he's the bull is disposed of, they cut off the ear and give it to the matador. So
Oy.
That's kind of what the first piece is about. Ooh. So
maybe I'll come late. Oh, sorry. No,
it's a very exciting. It's a very exciting.
I'm sure the music will be. And I see that Bob Latore is. Does he pronounce it that way?
Latore.
Latore.
Yeah.
Oh, well, a little Americanized.
Yeah.
Is trumpet on that?
Right.
La Oreja de Oro. Okay. There you go. The Golden Ear.
Yeah. Bob has a lot of solos in this whole concert. Of course, Latin American music is very, you know, the brilliance of the trumpet and, you know, very fiery playing. And
have you done a concert focusing on Latin American music before?
Not that I can remember.
No, me neither.
There's a couple pieces, well, at least one piece on here that we've done before. It's the La Fiesta Mexicana by Owen Reed. We're only doing the third movement of that piece. It's a fairly long piece if you do all three movements. So we're trying to get a broader cross-section of different composers for this concert.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting one is Under the Spanish Flag is a piece we're doing. It's a from a suite called Cuba Land, but it's by John Philip Sousa.
Right.
And
Sousa. A good Latino, if I ever heard of him.
Right, exactly.
His music especially. Boom, 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 boom. Oh.
And he'd made a trip to Havana at one time and was really inspired by the folk tunes down there. And so he had written a suite called Cuba Land under the Spanish flag.
And I'm looking, he was in Havana in 1925.
Yeah.
So almost 100 years ago. Interesting. And are these, I'm looking at these names, though. A lot of them don't look Latin, like H. Owen Reed.
Right.
And Roger Cici? I'm not sure how to say that.
Most of these composers are people who have taken Latin rhythms and Latin melodies, folk songs, and so forth, and have done their own compositions. I think it was probably in the late 50s or early 60s where Latin music, you know, finally drifted up into the North America, and it became very popular, particularly in jazz, started off a lot of jazz, Latin music. And the more it was played, the more it was liked by everyone.
How can you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very infectious.
Yeah, it is.
So I do see Carlos Chavez. Maybe he's related to. And then also the first piece you mentioned is Mariano San Miguel.
Right.
So there are some.
There are some.
Latin composers.
Yeah. I might mention another piece, The Toucan Fly by Peter Hinsbeck. Peter plays in the band. He's a sax player in our band. And he had actually composed this piece, I'm not sure exactly what year, but he lived in Waldorf, Germany for a number of years, the sister city of Astoria. And so he took the composition that he'd composed there in Waldorf and rearranged it for the band to play. So it's an exciting piece also. So
okay. And I you know, I'm, as you're speaking, I'm perusing this, and it says he composed it in 2009 for Waldorf's municipal band in Germany. But it's five simple duets coming together to form the cacophonous impression of a samba at Carnival, or a train chugging through a lush tropical forest. Hey, Estelle, maybe you'll be dancing to this one. I don't know. I'm not so sure. There is something called San Antonio Dances by Frank Ticelli. But so where does... Ah, I see it. The dance comes in with, is that right, the Latin American dances, Clifton Jones, or no?
With the two Astor Piazzolla tango pieces.
Okay.
Oblivion is the first one.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Oblivion, right, with soloist Shelley Loring and Bob Latouré. And there it is, guest dancers, Estelle Olivares and J.L. Gilligan. How has this worked out in terms of practicing? What did you get a recording of the music and work on it?
Yeah, those two, Astor Piazzolla is beloved by tango dancers and lovers. And actually, it's not necessarily music you would play at a traditional tango dance, a milonga, because it's not necessarily a steady rhythmic beat. What Piazzolla composed was more for listening enjoyment. But JL and I both love to dance to Piazzolla, as do many tango dancers who have been dancing a long time, because it's so complex. And these two pieces, Oblivion is very well known. Absolutely gorgeous to dance to. So pleased that the North Coast Symphonic Band chose that one. And then Street Tango, I wasn't as familiar with, but I am familiar with it. And so it's been fun to rehearse to those. And
so did you have to choreograph for the music?
There are moments that we kind of want to hit, but because tango is an improvised dance, it's primarily an improvised show. Yeah, we want it to be true to the dancing. So
how exciting. Yeah, that's wonderful. It is. So that means when you talk about you and JL really working well together, that's absolutely critical.
Yeah,
improvisation, just like with jazz and musicians, you have to be listening to one another, feeling one another, etc.
That's a perfect analogy, actually. Jazz music and tango dancing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it really, really, truly is.
Great. Well, this sounds like quite the exciting concert. And again, we mentioned that the concert begins at 2 o'clock this Sunday at the Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial. At 1:30, to warm you up, is a pre-show with Sedona Fire Band, and that is a group from, I think they're mostly from North Tillamook County, like the Tri-Villages.
Manzanita.
Nehalem and Wheeler.
Yeah, that whole area.
Have you played with them before or heard them play?
I've heard them just one time. I heard them do one number.
Well, I see the big connection. It's that very same Bob Latouré.
Bob plays in the band.
He does, and so does his wife, Renee Delight. And also beloved friends, Chuck and Barbara McLaughlin with the percussion. And it's Michael Dinnan, and of course Sedona Torres is where the name Sedona Fire Band. She has a gorgeous voice. They've been... here, and they've been right here in this room, a whole bunch of them. So it's going to be a great concert. Anything else we need to know?
I don't believe so. I think it's going to be a really exciting concert. The music's going to be exciting, and then we're going to have our exciting dancers there. And I think they'll really get the crowd going when they see the tango being danced, you know, with the tango music. It'll be exciting.
It's a lovely combo.
You might end up with a whole bunch of new students.
Oh, that would be great. Okay. We would love that.
All right. Wonderful. My guests, tango dancer and teacher Estelle Olivares, and we'll be dancing with her partner, J.L. Gilligan, and North Coast Symphonic Band President Dennis Hale. Dennis, what instrument do you play?
I play the tuba.
Gee, what a surprise. Yes, Dennis is part of the tuba quartet, which we are delighted that we have a tuba band in this community. I thought it was very unusual. I find out that the tuba has a lot of followers. And
They do.
That's pretty cool. So, okay, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
And here's a little more music from the North Coast Symphonic Band with a piece called Freedom. Do stay tuned. You're listening to Coast Community Radio. Arts live and local. Was the North Coast Symphonic Band with the piece Freedom. And I'll be playing, if I have time, a little music for you from a holiday that's based on freedom, which is coming up starting Monday evening, and that's the Passover holiday. But right now, we are passing over to Clatsop Community College Royal Nebucher Art Gallery featuring, I am thrilled to meet, and this is my first time, Lindley Logan, who is here for a solo show, which opens on Thursday, April 13th at 6 p.m., and I'm not quite sure how this exhibit came about. So we have Michaela, I like to just call her Mickey, it's a little easier, Mickey Sousa, mm-hmm. who teaches printmaking at the college, and will give us a little bit of the background. But first, welcome, Lindley. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me here as a guest. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's great to be here in Astoria.
Where do you live?
I live on the Kitsap Peninsula in Bremerton, but my home, my original home, is the Tonawanda Seneca Nation, which, if you follow 90 all the way across the country, we're just the other side of what's now Buffalo.
Okay, that's what, you know, when I saw that, the name, I thought, that's East Coast.
It is.
Yeah, because I went to school upstate New York, so I went, and I notice also there's the slash with Seneca. What's the, are they two tribes, one tribe, part of a tribe? How does that work?
Yeah, Onondaga is our term for ourselves. Like most Native cultural groups in the United States, the term that they go by in history books isn't the term that they utilize in identifying themselves. So Onondaga is our term for ourselves, which it interprets to people of the Great Hill. So we're part of the Six Nations, which is what the British called us, Iroquois, which is what the French called us, Confederacy. And Seneca is a term that folks who weren't necessarily our best friends termed.
Doesn't this so often happen? So, but you keep it in there so folks will be able to identify it if they only know the term Seneca. Is that it? Or would you just as soon drop it?
It's more of a history book type of a situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's wonderful now is if you come into our community, the road signs, which are state authorized, do now say in our language, Tonawonde Onondaga Yoinzaate.
Now, you said that very smoothly, and I wouldn't even try to repeat it. So let me ask you, are you a native speaker?
I'm not a native speaker, but I've picked up a mouthful of words.
A mouthful. Okay. Okay. Are there many people who do speak the original language?
Unfortunately, there aren't, but language revival across the country has really taken off in the last 20 years. And so what's happening now is you're looking at the impact of two generations benefiting from the support of language programs within our communities. And so what we're looking at now in our communities is we're literally looking at mothers using more Seneca with their children and their children understanding that.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, it's cultural life and language, so often it's not given the credit that it deserves in terms of expressing things that may not exist in any other part of the world, actually.
Yeah.
And so it's wonderful that this is being taught.
And for us in our community in Tonawanda, it's not necessarily a passive language. Mm. Say like Latin, you might learn Latin in school or French or in Spanish even. You might learn French and Spanish in school. But a lot of folks don't necessarily continue to apply those languages throughout their life. We're very fortunate in Tonawanda in our community. I grew up in the more in the traditional longhouse community. And so within the context of our longhouse, all of our ceremonies are still done to this today in our language.
Excellent. So how might, if it does, that connect with the art that you make? And I saw some images online. I haven't seen the actual paintings, but wow, gorgeous, gorgeous, vibrant, dynamic. Can you tell us where that comes from, where your work comes from?
Yeah, a lot of the inspiration for my work, one comes from my own personal sketchbook first or sketchbooks, but a lot of the concepts that I'm interpreting really come from our oral traditions or what I refer to as our cultural foundation.
Give me an example, if you would.
Sure. I just recently participated in an artist leadership program for the National Museum of the American Indian. And a lot of my artwork, whether it's two-dimensional work, whether it's three-dimensional work, whether it's prints or whether they're paintings or drawings, I incorporate what I refer to as a swirl pattern. Part of my intent in doing the artist leadership program research at the National Museum of the American Indian was specifically to study beadwork patterns, because beadwork patterns for us are very distinct. And I knew that there were beadwork patterns in the Cultural Resource Center at the National Museum of the American Indian that had a lot of swirl patterns. And so I incorporate that swirl patterning concept into my work. And the swirl patterning concept for us is very cultural in value.
And when you say for us, you mean your particular tribe?
For us is Onondaga and Seneca and part of the Six Nations Iroquois Confederacy.
I'm writing down so I can try to pronounce this by the time I say goodbye. I have to do it.
And Onondaga translates to people of the Great Hill.
Say it one more time for me.
Onondaga.
Onondaga. Okay, well, It might be a while, maybe by next Thursday. Now, are you going to be able to stick around or come back? Or?
I'm going to come back, yeah.
Oh, good.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, so was the show, did you bring your work in now?
I did, yep.
Is the show up?
It's not up, it's in place.
It's in place, okay.
Yeah.
When, Mickey, do you know when it will be possible? Is it not going to be viewable until next Thursday, or any idea?
Well, hopefully it'll be up before, you know,
before Thursday,
I think that's the best time to come and see it, you know, because everything is planned on being ready on Thursday.
Right. Not only that, but you will be there. So I think that's the most important. Lindley Logan, my guest, will be here on Thursday the 13th for this show. Now, how did this come about? How did your being at Clatsopka, had you been to Astoria before?
I have, but to be honest with you, the majority of the time that I came through Astoria, it was because we were driving south or we were driving back home.
Okay. So how did you end up stopping Astoria and giving us a show?
It's a long story, so kind of bullet-type bites.
Okay.
Richard and I were bunkmates at the Kokiri Putahi, which was an international gathering sponsored by Toi Māori in New Zealand of indigenous artists, primarily the Pacific Rim.
Yes.
And so, yeah, Richard and I were bunkmates. So that's when I first met Richard. And then I came down for one of the workshops where Richard hosted the Māori Muddies here at Clatsop.
Right.
And then I work at the Longhouse Education and Cultural Center, which is part of the Evergreen State College. I'm the director of the Northwest Heritage Program. And in 2015, the Longhouse celebrated our 20th year anniversary. And so I co-curated a 20th anniversary exhibition on behalf of the Longhouse. And we had a piece of Richard's in the show.
Okay. Well, of course, we're talking about Richard Rowland, who is the clay man of the entire area, teaches at Clatsop College and also has the fabulous Anagama kiln and all the most gorgeous sculpture work. And yes, so I've met you before, although I didn't realize it because I was also at the shows that were here with our friends from New Zealand.
Yeah.
So can we go back a little bit? You went to school in upstate New York.
I did.
And how did you end up going to some kind of art school, or did this all happen outside of academia, or how did you get to where you are today with all the responsibility as well as the fabulous product?
That's a very complicated question, but I mean, my mother would say that.
It's about five questions.
Yeah, my mother would say that ever since I could pick something up, I was always being creative. And I've always been very creative, not only two-dimensionally, but three-dimensionally. So for instance, I initially went to the Rochester Institute of Technology for industrial design. And for reasons that were complicated based on culture, I then ended up at the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
From upstate New York, now Santa Fe.
Santa Fe, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I ended up back at RIT and completing my degree. And I just kind of by happenstance ended up in the museum field. So eventually I ended up at the National Museum of the American Indian, which is part of the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C.
Right. So did you ever do the industrial part of the studies that you started?
You know, I didn't, because when I graduated from the industrial design program at the Rochester Institute of Technology in 87, there really wasn't any application culturally for that design background, which is why I ended up going to the Institute of American Indian Arts, because I really felt that there wasn't a context for design for me as a native designer. Fast forward 30 years, if I had started a design firm now, I would definitely capitalize on all of the capital construction projects that tribes now have the revenues for.
Yes, yes. So what do you see going on now with younger people? And did you have siblings who got into the arts, or were there others in your age group who also got into the arts?
Not necessarily. I mean, I've had friends who've come back into our communities, and specifically Tonawanda, to see what the health of the art scene was. a friend of mine has got an anthropological background. He was really interested more in contemporary arts, mm-hmm. and there really aren't a lot of folks doing any contemporary art, as he would say, other than myself. Mm. My brother is also very artistic. The challenge is with us as guys, as boys, we weren't necessarily interested in sitting down and doing art as much as we were interested in playing sports.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it's not just boys who don't like to sit down, but it's sports maybe. Okay.
Yeah, it was really sports.
Right, right.
Everybody thinks art got me through school. Sports got me through school.
Hey, whatever gets you there, and look where you are now.
Yeah.
So do you find that youngsters today are still, or even more so perhaps because of the language, the cultural emphasis, inclined to, in some way, whether it's through the visual arts or music or in some way, mm-hmm. develop the arts base with a cultural base?
Yeah, I think it's a case-by-case community situation. And for us in Tonawanda, what's really happening is we're having the opportunity to really do more along embracing our culture. So in Tonawanda, where we've always been fairly strong culturally, over the past 20 years, we've gotten even stronger culturally. It would be wonderful if we could work the arts into that culture. And the arts are getting worked into that cultural context and strengthening. It's that they're getting worked in from a traditional context of our arts.
Wow. Well, this is, I mean, it's encouraging.
Absolutely.
It's very encouraging. I don't know if it's going on in other parts of the indigenous cultures in the United States, but it sounds as though okay, I'm going to try it now. I've got two names here, though, and I'm not sure how they interface. Tonawanda.
Tonawanda is my home.
That's your home, meaning what? When you say your home, is that the community? Is that the name of the village? The name of the what? What is the name of the tribe? You're part of the tribe?
Yeah, we don't refer to ourselves as tribes. We refer to ourselves as nations.
Right.
And Tonawanda literally is the creek that runs through our nation territory.
Wow.
The translation is where the waters run swiftly or swiftly running waters. Tonawande, so Tonawande as in the creek, defines where we are regionally.
Boy, you're in the right place right now, though. You're on the Columbia River. It's pretty swiftly running now. Okay, and then this one I'm going to mess up. Onondaga,
yep. We have a lot of glottal in our language.
Yeah, got that. And what does that refer to in together with it?
That's how we refer to ourselves, and so the translation is people of the Great Hill.
Okay. Okay, well, I obviously need a lesson, so I really appreciate your coming here to Coast Community Radio, especially your coming to Clatsop Community College. Let me remind folks, this is happening, the opening is happening on Thursday, April 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery, Indigenous Intrinsic Manifestations. That's a mouthful. An exhibition of artwork by my guest, Linley B. Logan. And it's, I don't know, it's probably on the college website. There are probably some images so that you can see what I saw. And it's stunning, really. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the exhibit and to seeing you again. And now that you've been here twice, by golly, you can just keep coming back, doing more and more in our community. Thank you so much for being here, Linley.
It's absolutely wonderful being here, and thank you for having me as a guest here on Coast Community Radio.
You bet. Well said. He's good. I like
this.
Good. Okay. The other voice you're hearing is Micaela Sousa, an artist in her own right, an indigenous artist as well. But she lives here in Astoria and teaches at the college. You're still teaching printmaking?
Yes. We don't have printmaking this term. But,
okay. Which is why we got lucky to have Mickey on the show today, because otherwise she'd be up there teaching. And she's going to be back again because I've got one more set of guests, and there's a bunch of them out there. And they're a little bit younger than Mickey. and a lot younger than the two of us. So thanks so much. Here's some music coming up from Ben Hunter and Joe Siemens. They are in a house concert tonight in Arch Cape. And if you need the information, you can call me after the show at 4 o'clock and I'll give you all the information. Thanks for being here, folks, on Coast Community Radio. That's Joe Siemens and Ben Hunter, and again, they're at a house concert tonight in Arch Cape. They are Dynamite, and you can get more information from me after the show. Right now, I have seven of us in the room together. The air is, if I start sounding a little bit weird, it's because there's so many of us in the room, but they are gorgeous. I have three adults and three young adults or becoming adults. If you ask their parents, I'm not sure what they would say, but they are from Astoria and Napa High School, and they are here for what I mentioned before. It's very exciting that lots of people are picking up on the idea that, well, we all know art saves lives. We know that. And what we're realizing is that we need to start it young. And so these high school kids aren't that young, but I'm got a feeling they're getting it in their bones. It's so fun to have them in the room, though. I love having young people, especially when they stare at you like, what are we going to say? Okay, so who do I have here? I think I have Janet Sheridan, who is not quite as young because she's the teacher at Napa High School. And she brought with her Keenan?
Yes, Keenan.
Keenan
Gebhardt.
Gebhardt Jr., who is trying not to speak into the microphone, but he will when he's good. Good. I like that. We're having a little bit of theater here, too. And then Olivia? Mike?
Meek.
Meek. That's a good try. Okay, Olivia Meek. Olivia is a freshman and Keenan is a junior. Is that correct?
Yes, I am a junior.
Okay. And then I have in the back row Mickey. I just call him Mickey C. Mickey Cherigino, is that how you say?
That was perfect.
Isn't that from Mozart? Cherigino? Wait,
that would be the first.
The magic flute or one of those. Okay. And his student?
Elizabeth Rowe.
Elizabeth Rowe. Okay. And what year are you in, Elizabeth?
I'm a senior.
Oh, you're a senior. Okay. So first question, first, let's just get the logistics out here. And either one of the students or one of the adults can move forward and tell folks what's going on. I'll give you a quickie, and that is to say that the Astoria Visual Arts has promoted and helped to put together an exhibit of Clatsop County High School art. And they're calling it the first annual, which I love. That means this is it, folks. You're gone, but you two will still be here. And the teachers, we hope, will be here, too. It's happening. The opening is tomorrow evening, which is Astoria Art Walk. And it's at the Lovell Showroom. That's the Fort George Lovell Showroom on just one block down from us, 14th and Duane in Astoria. I'm going to let you, whoever wants to, step up to the mic. And Mickey, they're both pointing at you, so you better come up, get in there on a microphone and tell us.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's two Mickeys in here. So
oh,
the other Mickey
right.
can actually do this, too.
Oh, that's hilarious, yes.
She's kind of been in charge the whole time, so.
Okay, Mickey, stay on. No, Mickey Cherigino's, you stay on the mic. And Mickey Souza, you get on a mic also.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, now tell us, how did this all come together, and what exactly is it? And then you two teachers, obviously, the AVA kicked things off, but it was up to you to get it to your students. So
Astoria Visual Arts is organizing the show, and they got a grant to connect local high school students with local artists and really sort of support local high school students in the arts. And so one of those pieces is to have a juried art exhibition. And I think it was actually Mickey's idea to expand on that and to make it...
The other Mickey.
to make it a countywide show.
So it started... It was just going to be Astoria.
It was going to be Astoria, including
Gray School, of course.
And Napa High School.
Oh, okay.
But Mickey had the idea to expand on that.
Okay.
And make it more inclusive.
Now, you mentioned connecting the students with the artist, and I did read something about quarterly workshops and a trip to Seattle and Gray School having art weekly. All these, this is fabulous.
Yeah, it is. It's
so,
really fabulous.
So how, who? Okay, Mickey, it's your turn. Mickey C., what made you think about doing it with the, in the whole of Clatsop County?
In terms of the grant and the workshops and stuff, I would prefer to let Mickey speak about that. But in terms of the countywide art show, we try to do at Astoria High School, and Liz has been a part of quite a few of those. We try to do a semester or a show per semester, but it's always just us.
We're doing at the Barbie?
Have done it at the Barbie Center. Right. We've done it at the Lavelle Showroom. This spring, we'll be doing it at the Baked Alaska Annex.
Great.
And it's actually going to be a charity.
Nice.
It's going to be for United Way, I think. But anyways, wanted to expand on that a little bit and like, I don't know, it's not competitive per se, but instead of just having everybody at the school do it, say, hey, we want to get the best stuff from each of those schools and put it together in a little bit more professional manner and see where that takes us. So,
okay, so you had jurors, mm-hmm. and who were the jurors? I've got it written down here even. I do. I have Lyndon and Allison Tigard and Robert Paulman, three.
Yes.
I know Lyndon and Robert's work. I haven't seen Allison's work. I know she works in the arts.
Yeah, so three local artists, and I heard they had a great time during the pieces. Yeah. There were over 100 submissions, and there's going to be 50 pieces in the show.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so now let me just quickly ask the teachers, then I want to get to you guys, so take a deep breath. You're next. Teachers, did you... Mickey S. just said there were 100 submissions. Did you specifically ask particular students to submit, or did you open it up to all your art students? Go ahead, Janet.
At Napa, I opened it up to all of my students, grades 9 through 12. So I basically explained what we were going to be doing and what it was for, and said, if this is something that you want to do, then you need to take it seriously. And by the end, they were ready to go. So.
And you've got two students here.
Yes.
How many of your students did end up submitting ish?
I had about 20 or between 20 and 30 submit work, but we had 13 accepted into the show.
How many art students do you have at Napa?
Well, I teach middle school and high school.
Okay.
And so...
All together.
And I've got about between 70 and 80 students
Thank
all together.
Thank you so much. As a taxpayer at the Napa schools, as a Brownsmead resident, I really appreciate that our school is really heavy in the arts. It is so, so important. Okay, now... Speaking of students heavy in the arts, Keenan, let me start with you. What made you, first of all, why are you taking art, and what made you decide to submit to this show?
So the reason I'm taking art is because I needed an elective, and I didn't think I was very good at art, but I enjoyed it. Like, it's just kind of fun to not really think about much and just try to draw something, even if it doesn't go too well. It's still entertaining to look at your questionable results. So that's why I started doing art. And what was the other question?
Why did you decide to submit?
I decided to submit because...
Especially if you didn't think your stuff was very good. What gave you the courage to submit to a competition?
Because I found out I was a little bit more capable than I thought. And...
Oh, well, look at that. What a surprise. You mean by doing the arts, you found out you had talents and ability that you didn't know about. Yeah. This is what we're trying to tell the nation, isn't it, why the arts are so important? Yeah. So what did you submit?
I submitted a drawing of a mask.
Did you? You mean you had the mask in front of you?
No, it was inspired by a character in a video game that I play.
And so you imagined what it looked like and put it down on the...
I looked at the character, right. And then I drew it based off of that.
Yeah, because I'm thinking you can't trace it if it's in a video game.
Yeah.
Right. So you had to... And you, how did you feel when you got accepted? Were you surprised?
I was very surprised because I personally think there's a lot of people at our school who are very capable and have done very great things with their abilities. I just draw things that I think look cool, so they're not they tend not to be anything that's in like the real world. I drew like Squirt the Turtle at one point. Like, there tend to be digital things that I try to draw because that's what interests me.
Love it. Boy, I couldn't have planned it better if I had coached him. Everything you said was just spot on. This is the thing that a lot of people don't realize, and why it's so important to have art in the schools, so that someone like you can go, oh, what the heck, I need credits, I'll try it, and then, oh, hey, this is fun. Oh, what? These professional artists recognize my work? That's pretty wild. You see, it started to pour. Oh, my God, it is pouring. It's nature celebrating the arts. That's all I have to say. Okay, Olivia, you are a freshman. Have you been making art for a while?
Yeah, different mediums, not just watercolor, graphite, but like fabric. I've sewn my whole life.
Oh, really? Somebody taught you how to sew when you were little?
Yes, my mother.
And you sew your own clothing?
Yeah, primarily.
Do you sew for anybody else?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Not really, but...
You may someday. So what did you submit?
I submitted a watercolor portrait of my sister, and it was her, but then she was surrounded by octopus tentacles, and she was being strangled by a snake, and they had fandom stuff all around her.
Oh, how old is your sister?
20.
Oh, good. She's older than you. She can stand up for herself. This is good, because that sounds like... Did you have any feelings when you were doing that? Was this for real or for fun? Or
it was for
always...
fun.
Okay, good. This is good. And how did you feel when your piece was accepted?
I was really excited. I didn't think it would, because it's really weird.
Uh-huh.
And even just in my freshman class, there are a lot of people who submitted really, really incredible work.
Great. It's coming out. Weird seems to be a good thing. We'll talk to the jurors another time. So Elizabeth Rowe from Astoria High School, who is a senior. So you've been making art for a while, right?
I have.
At the school and even before?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you like to do?
I like to draw people a lot, and I like to do it with, like, pen or, like, scribbling it or with graphite. Yeah.
What did you submit for this show?
I submitted, like, it's kind of hard to explain, but I did, like, 8 different faces from people from different cultures, and then I put them with, like, the background of the American flag, because I wanted to do something that kind of brought people together but, like, had some deeper meaning and, like, left a little bit up for interpretation, but definitely had some meaning for me.
And for me. Thank you very much. I really look forward to seeing this show. It is happening. It's opening tomorrow night. Do you know if the show is going to stay up for the month, or anybody know? Or
just
it's not?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, folks. You have one night to see it. Now, are you guys going to be able to be there, you
yes.
three artists?
Yes, I
yes.
will be able
Yes,
to.
Okay. Get there. Do not miss it. This rain is a bit distracting. My car is disappearing into the ground. Tomorrow evening is the Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria. There are also students showing at the Art Loft from 1 to 4 p.m. That's 106 3rd Street. 10 Napa High School juniors. You're not in that one, are you, Keenan?
I don't know.
maybe. Are the featured artists at the Art Loft. And then the AVA Artists in Residence are showing both at the Arts and Movement Center and at above the Edison Fish Market. That's Andy Sterling and Terry Robinette. And Imogen Gallery has Jennifer Mercedes. I just saw her show, and it's wonderful. Riversea is... Fabulous Photography, as ever, by Jody Miller, and also Sterling Gorsuch, No Relationship. Sterling is a wonderful printmaker, and they are both showing at Riversea. The Art Stall has April Still Life set up. Tempo Gallery is featuring Phyllis Taylor with portraits. Gala is featuring the Art of Resistance, should be amazing. And Old Town Framing has the Clatsop Community College Foundation Annual Arts and Experience Preview. Also, Metalheads, that's the name of a new gallery or a shop that shows art. The AVA at the Lovell Showroom, that's what we've been talking about for the last little bit. Luminary also is doing students. They are the Head Start students. Art through a child's eyes, and they're masterpieces, and you can buy them. And then there's a silent auction that benefits the Performing Arts Center, Carmen Miranda Marionette. And Forsythia is showing, Cargo is showing. There is art everywhere. Be sure, though, to see tomorrow night because at the Lovell, because it's not going to be up for the rest of the month as the others are. Hey, thank you all for coming in. It's been great. Congratulations to the three student artists and to the teachers for helping to make this happen. It's quite wonderful. I do want to let you know that the Peninsula Arts Association Spring Art Show, spring, 10 to 4 tomorrow and Sunday. And Sunday, 3 to 4, they have a reception. Ben and Joe tonight, Sandtrap, Cedar Teeth, Winecraft tonight and tomorrow night, the Burke in Birkenfeld, Cannon Beach Public Coast Brewing, Beth Willis, The Adrift, Every Night Good Music, Manzanita Lighthouse Pub, Astoria Art Loft, I mentioned. Bay Avenue Gallery is celebrating their 7th anniversary. Charlie Brown is at the River City Playhouse tonight and tomorrow night at 7, Sunday at 2. Coasters featuring Mousetrap tonight and tomorrow night only, 7:30 and next weekend. Astor Street Opera Company, The Real Story, or How the Finns, took over Astoria, created Astoria. Tonight and tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and the Hoffman is featuring Mark Cavortata. Sedona Fire Band opens for the, they're going to be at the Nehalem Bay Winery. 2 o'clock on Saturday, and then of course they are going to be opening for the on Sunday for the concert. The North Coast Symphonic Band, Peninsula Performing Arts Center has the Lasses and Catherine Clare. Southwester has Maymay and Lortz. Cannon Beach History Museum, Constance Wisenen's Trees, a textile exhibit, 6 o'clock. This is all Saturday. Lightbox. In addition to all the galleries on Art Walk, you can hit them between 6 and 9, Portland 30, PDX 30 exhibit. And then Sunday, Maritime is featuring Professor Gall, who is a fabulous performer, and the Fort George has Jamie Leopold.